What Jesus is saying is that God's heart gets super excited about one person that has gone astray and finds his way back home.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, I'm Joshua Hollick. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, and I'm wondering, are you new to Chicagoland? Have you moved and not landed in a healthy church home yet? My prayer for you, and our prayer for you and Pastor Mark's here at Straight Talk, is that you would find a strong, healthy church to be a part of, to invest in, and also to grow with. I know for me, over the last 17 years, being a part of a vibrant church has been one of the greatest things that has helped me grow in my walk with faith. It's helped my family grow. It's helped me develop in every area of my life. And we're praying that you would find a great church to be a part of, especially if you're new to the area. You got to come and visit us. We're in your neighborhood probably. And you could find out more at www.newlifechicago.org. There's lots of great churches in the city, and we pray that you would find one of them. If you're having a hard time, come and give us a visit. There's over 30 celebrations on a Sunday morning in English, in Spanish, and even in Mandarin. So check us out at newlifechicago.org and find a church somewhere and get involved. May God bless you, and may He bless the local congregation in your neighborhood.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. We are continuing with Pastor Mark's series called Second Chances, and tonight is part three. It's called The Way Back Home. Our text will be found in the book of Luke, chapter 15. Let's get right into the word tonight. Here's Pastor Mark on tonight's Straight Talk.
Today we're going to be looking at the story of a prodigal, the prodigal son. That story of the prodigal son will ring familiar to you because it's a very well-known parable of Jesus. In fact, it's probably one of the best-known parables of Jesus. And it's oftentimes misunderstood. But it has a powerful message of how to come back to God if we've allowed ourselves to stray from God. I read a story recently where a mother was reading the prodigal son's story to her daughter. This is a true story. Her four-year-old daughter, and she was reading it out of a children's Bible, and so she said, you know, the son left the father's house, and then he ran out of money, and he had to eat pig slop, and got real poor, and so then he had to go back to his father, and asked to go back into his house, and she explained the whole prodigal son story to her four-year-old daughter, and then at the end she said, honey, she said, what lesson did you learn from the prodigal son story? And the little four-year-old girl thought for a moment, and she said, don't leave home without your credit card. And that's not quite the message of the prodigal story, but it's a good thought. But this story is really about the heart of the father. And I want to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 15, because I want to set up the parable for you so that you'll understand the context. It says in verse 1, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, speaking of Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. The context of the parable of the prodigal son is some complaining that's happening by religious people around Jesus. They look at Jesus and they see the crowd that's around him and they think, this is a motley crew. I mean, look, I think that woman there is a prostitute. That guy over there is a partier. Man, that guy over there is a tax collector. I mean, this is a shady crowd that Jesus is hanging out with. And they're thinking, Jesus, how could you hang out with a crowd like this? I mean, don't you know who these people are? Don't you know their background? Did you do a background check on these people? And so they're complaining about the fact that Jesus is hanging around with some shady characters. And so Jesus teaches them three parables. And the whole idea behind these parables that Jesus teaches is to represent that God's heart is for those that have strayed away from him and need repentance, need to come back to God. And that's what Jesus is saying is, if you're already righteous and okay, that's great. But there's something about the heart of God that reaches out to the person that's lost and is strayed away from God. And so he tells them three parables. The first parable he tells them is about the sheep. And you can see that in verses 3 through verse 7. It's about the shepherd that goes out and has 100 sheep, and one of those sheep goes astray. And he leaves the 99, and he finds the one sheep that has gone astray. And look what he says about it. He says in verse 6, and he goes home, and then he calls his friends and his neighbors together, and he says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." Jesus said, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Then he tells him another parable. It's the parable of the lost coin. It's about a woman who's in a house, and she's got 10 silver coins, and she loses one. And she lights a lamp, and she sweeps through her house, and she checks every nook and cranny of her house, and she finally finds the one coin that she's lost, and she calls, verse 9 says, and when she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, and she says, "Rejoice with me, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So what Jesus is saying is that God's heart gets super excited about one person that has gone astray and finds his way back home. The Bible says that there's a party happening when people come back to God. In other words, there's rejoicing and celebration. You know what? You want to know what makes the heart of God rejoice and be happy? It's when one of those people that have strayed makes their way back home. And then he tells a third parable, and this is the parable that we're going to focus on. It's the parable of the two sons and the son that goes astray. And I want to begin reading in verse 11 as we look at the parable of the lost son. Now, before I get into this parable, I simply want to say that you're going to learn from this story the stages in the journey of a prodigal. And if you're here today and you know in your heart, in the deepest part of your heart, that your heart has slidden away from God, maybe no one else knows it, but in your heart you know, if we were to put you in a small room, and you were just to be alone with God, and you were to say, "God, I'm going to open up my heart and be absolutely honest with you," and you were to be honest with God, and if today you would have to say, "God, at one time my heart was a lot closer to you, I was walking with you, but for whatever reasons, I've allowed my heart to stray from you, to backslide, to fall away from you, and right now, I know that I am distant from you." If you honestly know deep within your heart that that's the truth, then I want you to really listen to me this morning, because I'm going to talk to you about the stages of a prodigal and how to make your way back to God, okay? So, as we read this passage in verse 11, Jesus tells this parable, and a parable is a story with a message to it. It's not a real story. It's an allegory, a story that has a point to it, a powerful message to it. And oftentimes Jesus taught this way. Jesus said, there's a man who has two sons. First of all, it's a story about a father and two sons. Now, contrary to what it may seem by first glance, this story is not really as much about the son as it is about the heart of the father. The father represents God. The two sons represent, one son represents the son that goes out and leaves God and throws himself into his wild living. The other son represents the spiritual one that stays with his father and stays with God, but whose heart also has slidden away from God. And he said he had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Now, what you need to understand about what this younger son is doing, this younger son, every Jewish boy would receive an inheritance from his father once the father had died. The firstborn would receive two-thirds of the inheritance, and the secondborn would receive one-third of the inheritance. In essence, what the younger son was saying is, I know I shouldn't get this until you die, and I know it's not my right to have this until you pass away, but I don't want to wait till you die. I'm tired of living in my house. I'm tired of the rules. I'm tired of the restrictions you put on me. I want my freedom. And not only do I want my freedom, I want my inheritance before it's due me. And the father yields to his son. And he gives him one-third of his estate. Now, he's not a poor father. He has servants and cattle and land and buildings. And he gives him one-third of his estate, which is a significant portion of money. The son goes out and liquidates the estate. Sells the cattle, sells the land, sells the building, and he gets cash out of it. Now, any of you, those of you that are in real estate or those of you that are in business, understand that when you go to liquidate something quickly, you never get a good deal, right? If you have to do it fast and there's an emergency, you don't get the amount of money that you would if you kept it on the market and looked for the... This guy went out and took a third of his father's property and he sold it for a bargain price. In other words, he sold it for a lot less than it was worth. He loaded up his backpack, he filled his pockets full of cash, and he said, voila, Dad, see you later, I'm off on my own, I got my life in front of me now, I'm finally grown up enough to live on my own, I am free. Somebody says, sounds like my kid. So, it says, so he divided the property, so not long after that, the young son got it all together and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. Now, remember, this story is about the father heart of God and about us as sons and daughters and our relationship to him. And so this son goes out, takes his cash, and he decides that he wants to be away from his father. Oftentimes when we're straying away from God, we don't want to be around the things that remind us about God. We want to make new friends. And we want to distance ourselves from God, because the last place you want to be when you're not doing very well spiritually is in church and around the people of God, right? I mean, if you're not doing well and you're kind of running from God, you don't want to show up in church. Because someone's going to put their arm around you and say, how you doing, bro? I don't want to, don't bro me. I don't want to tell you how I'm doing. I want to go out there and I want to get out there where people don't know me, where people don't know I was a God follower or I have religious roots, and I want to get out there and I want to party and I want to make a new name for myself, and I don't want to be reminded of the things of God, and I don't want to hear his voice because I want to do my thing.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to Pastor Mark's message called The Way Back Home, which is from his current series called Second Chances. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of the broadcast, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Luke, chapter 15. Tonight's Straight Talk is called The Way Back Home.
And so he goes, he takes his money, he takes his wealth, he goes to a distant country, and he engages in a major party. So the first phase is what I call the wandering phase. The journey starts when our heart begins to grow hardened towards the Father, and we think that our way will be more fulfilling than God's way. You see, there's something about following God that's not always easy. How about it? You know, if someone ever told you, hey, following God's easy, they lied to you. Sorry. You know, Pastor, I thought I was going to come and follow God, and I just was going to add God to my life. And if I got in a jam, I would say, well, I got really high connections there. Hey, God, you remember me? I'm in a jam now. Would you? And I thought that life was going to be easier. I'd have problems and God would say, hey, don't worry, let me pull some strings. And I thought it would be just simpler and I would be a lot happier and things would just go smoothly. And then I came to God and I realized, hey, I got to give up some things. I got to do some things. I got to change some things. And I realized it's not that easy. Well, listen, Jesus never said that following his way would be easy. In fact, Jesus called his way the narrow way. It's a hard way. It's a tough way sometimes. And he says there's few that are on it. But the broad way, hey, you got a lot of space, you got a lot of latitude, you can do a lot of things, and there's a lot of people on it, and they're living a lot of different ways, but the end is a different destination. One way leads to life, and the other way ultimately leads to death. So, there's something about us, though. In James it says, do not be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. You see, what our heart tells us sometimes is that if I did it my way, I would be happier. If I just did it my way, I think I would be happier. And there's something about the deceitfulness of sin that comes in and says, you know what? God says do it this way, but you know what? It would be a lot easier to do it another way. And so sometimes we find our heart sort of sliding away from the Father heart of God. The second phase, after we've allowed our heart to get hard and independent from God, and we start sliding away from the things of God and slowly pulling ourselves away from God, and we're no longer hearing his word, we don't want to be in fellowship as much, we don't want to be around the people of God, or maybe, I've heard this story a lot of times, maybe when you were a teenager, your mother or father sort of dragged you to church. And you would sit in the back with your arms crossed and listen to, so you know the verses, you know the songs, but when you're old enough and you're 18 or 20 and you move out on your own, you say, aha, freedom now. No one's going to drag me to church anymore. Man, I'm going to live now. And they go out and they start living and they finally feel like, hey, I'm having some fun here. Well, that leads me to the second phase. The second phase is this. I would call it the wasteful phase. During this phase, we are initially satisfied and have the illusion. I emphasize illusion. We have the illusion of happiness. It says he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. The word wild there is the word asetos in the Greek. It's the only place that it's found in the entire Bible. And it's almost like Jesus had to speak this special word because this guy's lifestyle was so wild. And he says, and after he had spent everything. How many of you know when you're spending it, it's fun? Hey, come on. When you're spending it, it's fun. What's not fun is when you have to pay it. But the spending part, it's a blast. Get your check, get that bonus. Man, this is fun. Spend, oh yeah, here, spend here, there, that. That's the fun part. But there's always a time when you got to pay up. Here's the way it works. There is a season in this phase when people walk away from God or the things of God, where it actually seems like you're having fun, where it actually seems like you're happy, where it actually seems like you're fulfilled. When the husband has an affair with a woman that's not his wife, and he has this affair at the office, there's a moment of illusion where he's having a good time. And sometimes that man leaves his wife and he says, bye-bye, I wish I'd have done this a long time ago. Man, I've never been so happy as I am now. Now I'm really having fun. And I wish I'd have gotten rid of you a long time ago. And now we're going to... And the wife is left behind feeling like, hey, how come he's happy? I mean, he's sinning, he's turned away from God, and it seems like he's happy, and he's having fun, and here I am stuck behind. God, what is up with this? And I call that the illusion phase. Because I've been around long enough to know that the bubble will burst. And that there's a time when it's fun. But that time is a short-lived time, and that will come to an end. There's always a phase when we walk away. It's the deception phase. It's the phase where the addiction is fun. It's the phase where the snorting a line of cocaine, hey, this is a blast. It doesn't control my life, and it's kind of fun. Listen, I go out, it gives me a little high, because I haven't become this diehard addict and can't live without it and spent all my money on it, and it masters my life. Right now, it's fun. It's when the gambling is fun, and hey, this is a blast. Look, I made some change, and it's good. You haven't incurred a huge debt. You're not bound by it. People aren't hunting you down to pay up the price, to pay the price out, and it's the fun phase. It's the phase where you're clubbing with your friends, and hey, you're having a good time, and you go out, and it's all new, and you're having a blast together, because you know what? You haven't contracted a venereal disease yet, and so it's fun. It's kind of good. And the husband leaves his family, and it's fun. But you know, he hasn't had to deal with his kids who hate him now, and his wife who won't talk with them, and the woman who ultimately wakes up one day and realizes, man, this guy was a huge mistake. I'll see you later, buddy. You see, there's a season in the fun phase. And it seems like, hey, this is working out for me. You know, I thought it wasn't, but it's working out for me. And this guy has money bulging out of his pockets, has friends all over the place. He's treating at the parties. People are saying, hey, if you want to go to a party, you need to go to this guy. Man, he knows how to throw a party. I mean, he's spending money left and right. He's got girls hanging off his arms. He's the most popular guy around. Everybody wants to sit at his table. Everybody thinks he's the coolest guy around. No one knows his background. No one knows where he gets all this money. And they just think he's the greatest guy around. And he's always wanted to be popular and always wanted to be free and always wanted to be respected. And now he finally is. But something happens. After a while, like all illusions, like all bubbles, it comes to an end. And one day he wakes up and says, man, I'm getting really low on cash. I didn't know I could spend it this fast. And the Bible says he squandered all of his wealth on prostitutes, parties, wild living. And he comes back and he realizes it's getting low. And finally, he runs out. Oh, that day comes when it runs out. That day comes when it's not so fun anymore. And he moves from the luxury hotel to the motel. And the day comes when he moves from the motel to the street hotel. And all these friends suddenly start trickling away. And all these people that thought he was the greatest thing in town, suddenly they can't be found. And he goes to his buddy that he partied with and says, hey, bro, you know, I'm a little short of cash. You mind sparing me? Oh, man, I'm going through a tough time too. See you later, buddy. And he starts realizing, you know, all those things that I thought I had, popularity and friends and fulfillment and happiness, man, it was just a mirage. It wasn't real. It was an illusion that lasted just a little bit of time, but it's not really holding up. And suddenly he finds out what his true friends are made of, and he starts discovering that they're running away. They're fleeing. And he wakes up one day, and it just so happens, the Bible says, it just so happens that a famine hits the land. So during the wasteful phase, we think we're fulfilled, we're halfway happy, but it soon comes to an end. And it says, that leads to the third phase, and I call it the wake-up phase. The day comes when our illusion starts to fall apart, and we're driven to lower ways of meeting our needs. And then it says, in verse 14, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark's message called The Way Back Home, which is from his current series called Second Chances. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. Before you go, we invite you to visit New Life Midway this Sunday to hear Pastor Mark in person. It's at 5101 South Keeler, just west of Pulaski in Chicago. If you are on the train, it's the Orange Line, and you can hop off at the Pulaski stop. We are right down the street. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again for listening. We're glad to have you. And please do join us again on the next Straight Talk as we finish up our message called The Way Back Home. Good night, and God bless.